Hallelujah. And we are more than conquerors through the Lamb's victory. Our lives are occupied with a lot of ups, downs, and all arounds, all type of sorrows, joys. And yet, we can say we got the victory because the victory is in Jesus. Don't you know you cannot not have victory if you are in Jesus? Huh? You and I are victorious because we are indeed in Jesus. You see, that's what the, while we study the Word of God in your devotions, listen to the radio, TV, come to church, because it should be a continuation of knowing more and more about the God who made us saints and the God who have given us victory. You see, you and I have to be reminded that we got victory. Because Satan situations and circumstances, if we're not careful, they will overwhelm us and make us think we are losers. All right? And if you begin to think that you are a loser, you're going to act like you're a loser. If you begin to think somebody else got the victory and you don't have the victory, you're not going to walk victoriously. You see, but we continue. God, see, God is so smart. God set this old preaching thing up that it would just stir us up and keep reminding us of who we are in Christ Jesus. So you can be in Christ Jesus and forget who you are in Christ Jesus. So that's why I say that it's very important. It ain't a thing, well, you in Christ Jesus. Yeah, but I can forget that I'm in Christ Jesus. I can act like I don't know I'm in Christ Jesus. I can walk in defeat and not in victory, though I have victory. So we need to be reminded from the Word of God who we are and whose we are. Constant. I can say that today, in the next 5 minutes, forget who I am. You know? You say, well, how can that happen? Your actions. Your actions. You act like you're not who you really are. Am I right about it, saints? See, we're real in here. We're not going to play them games in here. We're going to take the Word of God just the way it is, say what it says, no more. We're not going to add to it. We're not going to take from it. But we want to learn from the Word of God, because what it would do, when God begin to open up our understanding about what he's written, and when we read it, we're going to know how to use it practically. See, you and I now are in the zone of practical sanctification. We are living right now in that zone. Huh? Glory is waiting on me. Glory is waiting on you. The full salvation is waiting on you and on me. But right now, we're in the practical. And in the practical, there are some things God has said in his word that we must appropriate, we must believe it, if we're going to make it. If we're going to make it without defeat. You see, if you and I pick up a defeatist attitude, even though we know we are saved, we're going to be in and out of power. You see, God is not just a God that he can be your God when you're doing good. And you can give him glory. You can say hallelujah. And the next time you can be stone-faced. You can do your own thing because, you know, the world will have you crazy if you let it. Because if Satan know he can't steal your soul when you're saved, he can't really take the victory from you. Because it was Christ who gained the victory for you. So what he would do, he would lie to you, lie to me, make me think that I don't have no victory. And see, if I begin to think, buy into that lie, I'm going to act it out. I'm going to act it out. Sister June, I'm going to act it out. Huh? Say what you want to say. Well, Pastor Rick, you saved. Yeah, but I'm not acting like I'm saved. Pastor Rick, you got the victory, but I'm not acting like I got the victory. And see, not only do we hurt ourselves, but we hurt the name of Jesus. See, we are talking about bringing glory to his name. Is there a song in the songbook, Glory to His Name? What's the name of that? What is it? Glory. Y'all help me, saints. What is it? Glory. Come on. Glory to his name. All right. Glory to his name. All right. All right. And as you begin to sing that, and it's a beautiful hymn in our hymn book. But you says there was the blood applied. See, something happened to you and me when the blood was applied to us. It made us a different person. Huh? It gave us a different destiny. And it should give us a better understanding of the grace of God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. My message title today is The Christian's Earnestness. The Christian's Earnestness. Earnest has the idea of sincere and intense conviction. Let me say this again. Earnestness have the idea or means sincere and intense conviction. Now, I want you to get that because as we go through a few of these scriptures, you hold that because this is the way God wants us to approach what I'm going to talk about. And many times we approach the scriptures, but not the right way. We don't approach things as we should with earnestness, sincere, and intense conviction. You know, there are some things that God has for us. All right. That you and I won't get the complete gist of it if we don't approach it right. See, you can quote scriptures. You can say this, say that, walk in this and all of that. But let me tell you something. If you don't have that earnest conviction about it, some things you're not obeying God about how to approach it. And if we don't approach it in the manner in which God is telling us to approach it, you may not be receiving from it the things you ought to receive from it. And a lot of times you're just saying, well, I don't get nothing out of this or out of that like somebody else may get in and out of that. But if you didn't know, you just can't pick the word up or do certain things that God have already have a prerequisite of telling you how to do it, and you missed that memo. And so you just do it flippantly and expect the same thing just because it's the word of God. But there's some things God told you how to approach, baby. He told you how to approach. See, thinking about this, I said, Lord, maybe there's some things I have not approached the way I should have, and therefore I didn't glean from it that which I needed. I don't know about you. There are things from God I need. I need. Now, if I'm blocking my own blessing, I want to know about it. You see what I'm saying, Sister Wanda? I want to know if I'm blocking my own blessing, because I'm coming, Sister Joan, but I'm not coming in the manner which God said come. Huh? And I'm just saying it ain't about how to come. He ought to be glad that I'm here. Well, see, when God informed me how to do, what to do, I'm to do it God's way. Too many times we want to do it our way and we want God to bless it. Anybody like that in the house? Anybody been there? Okay, I ain't going to be with you long because we got communion today. So we're going to look at five things that we should approach in that way. The first thing we want to look at, the Bible tells us, give earnest heed to the word of God. Now, how am I going to give earnest heed to the word of God when I don't even want to hear the word of God? I don't want to set it in the sanctuary. It's okay if I don't hear it. Now, look how much we miss. You're not giving earnest heed because you don't care whether you heard or not. Now, what did I say earnest mean? Talk to me. Y'all gonna work with me today. Huh? Okay, if I don't approach the word of God, see, first of all, God realized if you and I begin to disrespect the word of God, I don't care how much we quote it or told it, you disrespect it because how you approach it. See, when you read the word of God, there are words, Okay? And there are instructions that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. See, when we approach and rightly handle the word of God and understand what we're looking at and embracing, all of these nuances is going to help us to defeat the attacks of the devil in our own mind because of our situations don't seem to favor us. But if we're going to get any instructions, it's going to come from this. And if I don't want to hear this, don't want to be around this, don't want to hear the man of God preach this, how in the world are we going to continue to be blessed? My approach to the word should be in earnestness. I'm going to show you what God said. You do what you want to do. But oh man. Remind me of myself. Lord, as I look at this and, you know, Lord, maybe some of these things you were telling me to do earnestly, maybe a few I did, maybe a few I didn't. You see, sometimes, Sister Joan, some of the things you desire, you a prayer warrior. And you pray for different things and different people, and you know, and the prayer warriors pray, but and you longing for some things that you don't that don't seem like God have answered, and you keep praying, and sometimes you may even get a little upset, but you pray anyhow, all right. But a lot of times, it's how you approach that prayer. See, you approach it as being a child of God. You approach it by saying words. Those that was thought to be appropriate. But a lot of times it won't end earnest. It won't a deep conviction. You know, we can get deep when there's something that, you know, those special things that you want answered. But I tell you the truth. Let me move on. This gets good to me, and I'll stay too long. Okay, Sister Ricks, I heard you. I got one amen if I don't get no more. I know, baby. I love you too. I got one person to love me, and the main person, other than God. God bless you, baby. Amen. God is good, isn't he? All right. Okay, All right, look with me. See, if you put it up for me. Hebrews 2:1. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we must give the more what? Earnest. Now, if God didn't want us to give more earnest heed, he wouldn't have wrote it. He didn't say just take heed, but you got to get serious about God and some things you are asking God. And you got to understand, therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard. That's the word of God. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. So God is telling me, you just don't come just to be in the crowd. Not for worship service. No, you don't come just to be in the crowd. You come to hear from God. You come to hear what heaven has to say to you. See, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And the Holy Spirit he is God, so he makes a connection with God. And not only that, the Holy Spirit in you want to control you. But guess who wrote the word of God for you to hear? The Holy Spirit. Look at this, my sister. He wrote it. He's dwelling inside of me. And he's listening how I am listening, how I am taking heed when the word is preached. He's listening. And watch this. He's listening to that preacher, seeing as he rightly handles the word of God. And once the Holy Ghost in you say, yeah, he is. Yes, he is. I gave him the message. Now he's listening at the receiver of the word of God and seeing, are you in earnest with your conviction how important the word of God is? How are you receiving it? Hey, and let me tell you something. He's right. He said, look. Some things you got to be more earnest about. You just can't take heed. Well, I'm taking heed, Pastor. I know I am too. I've been taking heed to things. But, you know, sometimes I need to take more earnest heed. I'm talking about Pastor Ricks. I ain't talking about you. I can talk about me, Cana. I don't know your heart. My job is to preach the word of God. But I know me. I know a lot of times I don't take the earnest heed. See, I'm not in the worship service to tell a lie. I'm here in the worship service preaching God's word that I can learn from the Holy Spirit in me and what I need to do. Tell me what I need to do. He says, now go to the next verse, Steve, while you're there. Wait. I didn't finish reading this, Dylan. Go back. Let me finish reading. Then we'll roll, okay? Go back. Can you go back to one? Okay. Therefore, we must. Now my mind was thinking about taking it somewhere, but that's okay. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. As we drift away. Man, how many those who say that they are Christians that we know drift away? Leave church, just drift, just move, do what they want to do. See, remember when we talked about sainthood? It was Christ who made us saints. Preacher don't make no saints. Christ do. And Christ have instructions for his saints. We gather in worship around the singing of songs of Zion, the fellowship, the prayer, and just the shaking of hands and being in your presence. All these things God wants us to do as becoming saints. But he's letting us know that we ought to Take heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift. And what he's saying, okay, you cannot hear this or do this, and you may set yourself up for drifting. And many times you see people drifting like that. It's because they didn't take heed to the word of God. No matter what you say, no matter how you pray for somebody. Now, watch this here, Sister Joan. Give me a little tidbit for all of y'all, not just Sister Joan. Say, for instance, there is a person that begin to drift away. You're praying for them. But you never pray that you're praying, God, whoop them, or God, whatever you're praying for them. But you never, because that's why we got to preach stuff like this. No, I didn't pray that. I prayed some things, other things that was appropriate. But watch this. Here in the context, right here, not all over the scriptures, but in the context right here, he's speaking of not taking heed to what you heard, it may put you in a position to drift away. Say that has happened to somebody. Their drifting is because they don't take heed to nothing preached or taught or heard on the radio. And when they call themselves taking heed, it's not earnest. That's the word. So all I'm doing is I'm just taking the words and expounding. So you heard me call out word, this is where I'm getting it from, okay? Because where it is, if we get a case, God shows you cases so you can equip yourself to pray for. Every case ain't the same case. Everybody's troubles are not the same troubles. So the word of God, what you're hearing, the word of God is pertinent. Don't take it, flip it. I just come in there, it's the word of God. No, I'm serious. I'm doing this for this. If I'm not giving you anything and up here doing this, not showing you what the word of God says and how important it is to keep, I don't want you to drift. See, there's consequences of not taking heed. Oh, crazy preacher's assignment is to preach this. For myself too. Oh, God, maybe in some of those instances, unbeknown to me, because I wasn't highlighting this. I had some other things I was highlighting big time in scripture, but I won't highlight this. Can we get honest? Can we get out? Say, all that lying to God and the Holy Spirit. No, I won't highlight this particular. There's some other things I was highlighting, and I was, Lord. But now you come and show me something that seems to be easy. We are not earnestly taking heed with conviction if we're not doing what God tells us to do in the Word of God. That's an indication that you didn't take heed. Well, I didn't take heed. It's for all of us, okay? I'm not leaving myself out. Right? Let's get that straight. Like I always say, get me first. Okay, let's move to the next verse. But I won't stay as long maybe on other verses. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just reward. I'll let y'all read the other. Now I'm just going to move on, but I just want to let us know. Give heed to the word of God. Okay? The red word of God, give heed. When you're doing your devotions, give heed. You're reading the word of God. The preach word, give heed. No, it's no lie. the word if it's preached or you're reading it. But give heed. Some have found themselves just drifting. And they're still saints. And they don't know why they're drifting. Sometimes folk are drifting and they're saying, there's a reason that they're doing it. And guess what, Dave? Their reasoning why they're doing it is a wrong reason if this is the true reason. But they don't know it. Don't nobody preach or teach it to them. They don't know it. Matter of fact, if you go talk to a lot of them, they won't ever bring this up while I'm drifting. Am I right, Sister Joan? I know I'm right. And so what I'm saying is, it behooves us to take in what the Holy Ghost wants to say to us. Because the Holy Ghost inside of us, who lives inside us, indwells us, fills us when we give him the right of way. He want to hear this because he wrote it. Hey, Pastor, I know I'm drifting, Pastor. Okay. Don't you know there's something that will help you from drifting? See, if you're serious about your drifting and it's brought to your attention, why don't you come set it in the Word of God? That it will give you power of steadfastness. Amen. Not only that, see, here's something that we got to look at. It ain't all about us. It brings glory to God. Don't you think the Holy Ghost want to see you in church? Don't you think the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ who died for us, want to see you under the Word of God? Because here it is. The Word of God is so powerful, and it is the thing. The Word of God for the Christians, it is our food. We got to have it because there are some things from the Word of God will be explained to us outside of the Word of God we would never know. Brother Alvin, many are drifting because they don't take heed to the Word of God. And if you don't hear the Word of God, how can you take heed to what you don't hear? God got a reason for crazy preachers. He got a reason. If you don't open up your Bible, you can come here and hear the preacher open up how you study it and then teach it to you. But you got to take heed. You got what you hear. What are we hearing? There's a thing we take a heed to earnestly that's of the devil in the world and of the flesh. Taking heed big time. And chest poked out, I'm saved. How do you know? Not saying you're not. How do you know? How do you know? You got to check it out. Peter told us that. And he says, as long as I'm in this tent, as long as I'm living, not that you think that I've heard before, you don't know, I'm just stirring it up. You may have more knowledge packed down than you already got it packed down, but you don't take no heed to it. And my job is to stir it up. Mess with you on Sunday. Huh? After God done mess with me with the message. Come on, son. Come on, son. Come on, Rich. Preach. Oh, huh? What did you say? Nothing, Lord. Okay. Get your act together. You know, he tell preachers get their act together too. Y'all know that, right? Stir it up. Peter said, I'm going to stir you up. Then big chunks of doctrine pop up. Boy, I never thought of that. Well, I read it in me. I read that and upside down all around. But you know what? I got a little something now. I see how it ties together with blah, blah, blah. Okay. If you're not hearing anything, not hearing the Word of God, don't ask people to take heed to what they're not hearing. Is that right? Okay. All right, not only that, but we should earnestly contend for the faith. Oh, y'all know that's that, don't you? Jude, oh, my, what chapter? I think y'all know that by now. What are y'all laughing for? Okay. Okay. Verse 3. Contend for the faith. It said, beloved. I always love this verse. While I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. So I was going to write to you guys, Christians, about our salvation. But something happened to me. Something I saw about the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost spoke to me. I found it necessary. Say necessary. Necessary. Look, some things are necessary. Are you with me? All things from the Word of God, as God instructs us, is necessary. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly. There's our word again. That's my word there. Earnestly, and we say that's with sincere and intense conviction, earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the who? There we go again. For certain men have crept in unnoticed. We got to realize there are some people who don't want you to live for Jesus. There are some folk preaching other faith doctrine, how to be saved. And God is telling those who have, through the gospel, who have been made saints. Jude is writing to them, telling them, say, look, we got to deal with this false teaching that's going on. So therefore, you got to contend. You know, a boxer, a contender, you know, a guy right in line for the championship fight. That means he had to fight and win some battles to get in that position to be a contender. Huh? Am I right about it? He got to get some wins under his belt. So James is saying to us that those who bring a false doctrine knocking on your door, white shirts and bicycles and selling Watchtower info, you got to contend for your faith. Man, when you look in Romans 10, and take your time going through Romans 10, just take your time. You see Paul contending for the faith in Jesus Christ. See, he had a heart beat for the Jews according to the flesh, his people. He wanted them saved. But see, they wanted to hold on to that work righteousness through the law. But when Jesus Christ came, they didn't receive him as the Messiah. They want deliverance from under the Romans. That's what they wanted. But they didn't receive him as Savior. But Paul received him as Savior on his Damascus Road experience. And see, when Paul received him as Savior, all other righteousness became null and void. He said, even though they are my people, and you got to see this, Paul also saw in Acts 9, I had that same type of righteousness. And even working toward killing the Christians and saying that Jesus Christ, that's the way, that's an imposter, he's false doctrine. I was there, Jew. But when he opened up my eyes that I could really see the truth, we're saved by grace. Huh? And so my heart beat for the Jew. Read 10. Romans 10. I'm just giving you a tidbits. But just take your time. Then go up to 9. And see what they were holding on to. Huh? The law. See, Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. So Jude is saying, You better contend for your faith. How can you contend for your faith if you don't even know what your faith is all about? You won't take heed. I'm telling you something. It ain't okay just to be saved and doing nothing. Knowing nothing. Not even when the preacher would preach it and teach it to you. I ain't no great theologian, nothing like that. Never claimed to be. But one thing, I ain't never doubted my salvation. Not day one. And I know how to lead a person to the Lord. And I feel that pressure that was on Paul for his people. Because all type of teaching and doctrine is down the pipe. A fella the other day, we're talking about, we're talking to some other fellows, there's Muslims and some other people, and they asking all kind of questions about all the different faiths and why this one leads and whatever. You know, and I said, okay, there we go. See, it's going to come down when you are presented the gospel. You got to either believe it or not believe it. Okay? It comes down to that. But we need to know what's going on. Now, something you have to be careful with, saints. I know we like to hang with everybody if they say they save and suck in all type of doctrine. Be careful with that, what you're sucking in. They can say they're Christians. And one of the things you got to definitely be critical about, the salvation part. I don't care if they are, well, they just a regular Christian church like everybody else. Okay, I'm not going to get into all those things. What do you believe about? Tell me about Jesus. Tell me how you get saved. And when you got some foggy stuff about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at that point I got to watch you. Paul understood the zeal that the Jews had. He said, now testify you got it. But it's not according to knowledge. Now, if we tell some folk that, you got zeal, sister, evangelist, so-and-so, you got the zeal. But if I tell you not according to knowledge, and I'm only saying that because of what you told me about salvation. You told me I can lose salvation. You can tell me I got to have evidence of speaking in tongue. If there's no evidence of salvation, you just tarry for the Holy Ghost. And once you get the Holy, after you tarry me, wait. While I'm waiting, how long do I have to wait? Watch this now. I'm going to try to tie a little bit of what I just was teaching you. Now I'm waiting, tarrying for the Holy Ghost. I'm not saved till I get the Holy Ghost. Now, I die without the Holy Ghost. What do I open my eyes on? Huh? With the rich man? He died without the Holy Ghost. The Bible says he opened his eyes up in hell. Didn't it? And Lazarus died with the Holy Ghost. But watch this. If you and I don't earnestly take heed to the word of God, and we're in a drifting mode, and we drift right unto one of those churches or one of those people, we're in the drifting mode. When I'm in the drifting mode, you can teach me anything. Because I'm not earnest about the word. See, I open myself up when I'm not taking heed. I won't even listen to the preacher. I'm doing this for anything and anybody. And guess who after me? Guess who's against me? Guess who my enemy is? The flesh, the devil, and the world system, which is under the god of this world, the G. Am I making any sense? So don't start drifting. Be in your seat when your pastor teach.
I can say that if I'm your pastor. That's another thing. I've been telling people this for years. I don't know how many to do it. I think some have. If you got a pastor, read in the Bible and see what the Bible say about the guy. I'm serious. You'd be surprised that the people just automatically think a pastor in the church and they just go. They don't bemoan no biblically who that guy is and a man in the moon. If Kenny who? Or whatever you like. But have you, who is that guy? Am I right, saints, about that you should know? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you one simple reason why. Simple. I ain't even gonna get deep. When I say something, and folk look all kind of crazy ways at me, you and sometimes that won't come back to me when you know who God have called me to be. Watch this. Y'all know about y'all readers in here. You know what he said in Peter, right? When he told the elders, the shepherds, the pastors, okay, take the oversight. Don't do it for money. Don't do it straight, right? Now, little do some people know, Peter was talking to those who had the call, right? But little do we know, some of them may have one. Y'all do what you want to do. Oh, I should have never done this. Because I may not be able to get back up. But I'm trying to illustrate. I'm off my job. That's all I'm trying to illustrate. But I got a call. I'm a true pastor, but I'm not taking it. If you read Peter, in the text, there's a subject matter going on. When we read the Word of God, you need to know the subject matter that's going on and pay close attention to the subject matter. Here he's talking to the elders. I'm an elder myself. Take the oversight. Feed the flock of God. I'm going fishing. Feed the flock of God. See, it ain't about him. It's about you. God can feed them himself because they don't want nobody to hold them. They look at me like I'm crazy. I say, Peter, I'm sorry, Peter. Peter, I'm an elder myself. Feed them. Why I got to do that? They don't want me no way. they doing their thing. They no more than I know. Feed the flock of God who Christ have made you oversee. Fix that bad knee. Let me move on now. I didn't have no business doing that. I should take one of the chairs. But anyway, I'm just trying to prove a point. That's all. I'm trying to prove a point how important the Word of God is. All right? And also, I want you to know biblically who I am. Not because I say it. Don't buy that. Don't buy what the preachers say. Line it up with the Word of God. Okay? Now, watch this. When I begin to say, I'm wrong, Peter. I'm wrong, God. Forgive me. I know what you're calling me to do. Get myself up. Okay, I'm obedient. Get back here. Watch this. See, obedience goes from the pulpit to the back door. But then you won't get obedient. Now, I had to humble myself and say, you're right. If God chose this way to do it, I think it'll be a better way. You just speak to him yourself. That's more powerful. I do what I want to do. I'm sovereign. I chose you. So that's all I'm trying to do, okay? And I got to give an account. But watch this here, too. Peter stirred me up and reminded me, get up. And then out of that, when you read that, John, it goes right back. He say, and Jesus is going to reward you. He going to give you a little something because I know what you're up against. I'm going to give you a little something. I mean, that's the word. Have y'all read it? Most of y'all scholars have read that. Okay, read it. Watch it. Wait a minute. You gonna give me something? Then you told me take it. They won't let me have. I didn't tell you about them let you have nothing. You take it. You take it because I have ordained, I have appointed you. There's some things for them to do. There's some things for you to do. There's some things for you to do I didn't tell them to do for themselves. He says, look. I told them to follow the faith, their leaders. Right there, just before you deal with, obey them who have rule over you. You just read it all and put it together. And ask God why he do this. Now, here's the thing. When you do your part, and I do my part, we both are blessed. Huh? We are both blessed. Okay. You helped me out a little bit. And I said that because I may say some things. I'm not trying to upset anybody, but I'm trying to drive it home because I got to give an account. And when God asked me, did you preach that right, Riggs? Huh? Did you get to meet some things and whatever like that? Yeah, God, I didn't do it like you could do it, but I did. I did, Lord. And I see the relevance of it. Are you with me? If you scholars look deep, it's some relevance here. Because if you got a person drifting and you're trying to give them some other scriptures, never get them back taking heed to the word of God because they're not hearing the word of God. Okay. Give earnest heed to the word of God. Earnestly contend for the faith. For the faith. Hold tight to sound doctrine about salvation. Because there are other folks saying other things, like even what Paul went against, and you got to hold your ground. And many times you may have to tell them, as Paul said, Sister May, I know you got zeal. I know you have a devotion to God. I mean, nobody in the neighborhood, sister, got that devotion. Give them their props as you know it. Paul did. I know you got a zeal. But you got to say, but that's not according to proper knowledge. And when you're preaching stuff that will keep people unsaved, no matter how many flowers you put on it, how you wrap it, it's dangerous to that soul. Preach Jesus. And when the hearer begin to take heed with conviction to the word that's coming and falling in their lap, it's harder to mess with them people in the street. It's harder to come knocking on their door and let you in, give you a little piece of money to be partakers of what you're doing. Not when they taking heed. Oh, y'all got zeal walking the street. See, you're really trying to work for your salvation. Don't know how much work you got to do. You got to keep working for your salvation. No, the work was done for my salvation. I'm enjoying my salvation. And the work I do is not for my salvation. It's because of it. I preach because of my salvation. I don't preach for salvation. I don't preach that I'm going to get saved how many sermons I preach. I'm already saved. And it's my service that I got to give account for, Sister June. Huh? I don't know how many years ago, maybe you can help me with that, June, when we came through the way you and your sister was living in Academy Park, knocking on the door, witnessing. And came and sat a while, and somebody was sick in the house. Huh? How many years was that, June? Huh? What was Pastor Rick's doing? Come on. June? Back then? What? Was Joan there too? And what did I come there with? Now I came with the gospel.
Yeah. Okay. I got a few witnesses. Huh? Amen. So I ain't just got on this road, Sister Paula. I didn't know you then. I wanted a preacher. I want a preacher. No, I'm not jiving with this. No Johnny come late. I'm not trying. You know, my heart hurts that so many people don't want truth no more. So if you see some of that, I'm going to tell you what it is. So you ain't got to speculate or leave out here and tell somebody what happened. Just like I'm saying, I went back to June to go back that far with them, and that they could see me then. I was young and slim then. I hadn't even preached my initial sermon. I don't think Pastor Mike had even came to the church. I'm still doing it. And it hurts to see people don't care to hear the word of God. It hurts me. And then it spreads to other people. I ain't got to have neither. I don't want to be like that. I've been on this road too long. I want to see you saved. I preach too many funerals. When they come up, I'm there to preach them. Saints, we are all saints. Let me go fast with these. I love y'all. And I'm okay too. I'm all right. But it's my conviction. Intense conviction. Sincere and intense. And it's about salvation. With anything else, don't play with salvation. Okay, let's move on from that. Earnestly pray to God, Luke 22 and 24 and James 5. 17. Okay. Let's. And truly the. Okay. Now, there was also. A dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. Go ahead on there now. Give me the next one. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Go to the next one. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. It's speaking about his earnest, sincere prayer. And he's a man of like passion, just like we are. And these instructions are given to us too. James given instructions too, pray for the sick and all of that. encouraging us that it's not about the man, it's about the God that he served. And letting us know we too have the Holy Spirit, we too are saints, and we can pray for people. And if it's God's will, he will hear and heal. You can read the rest of it yourself. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 7:7. We should keep praying, earnestly care for the saints. 2 Corinthians 7:7 says, and not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice even more. You know, you can rejoice when you heard somebody tell you, say, hey, man. And I know I do when I heard that the church is praying for me. When I heard people, man, I'm lifting you up. I'm still praying for you. And I know what they mean when they say that. But it has an effect just like it has right here. You know, I rejoice even more. You know, and just like if I would preach the word of God, and then I see people have a zeal for not drifting, a zeal for taking heed, man, it's going to strengthen me. You follow what I'm saying? But on the flip side of that, when there is no zeal, there is no earnest conviction, you can't rejoice in that because you know the consequences of not doing what God would have us to do. Are you following me? Let's go to the last one so I can get on out your way. Earnestly long for glory. 2 Corinthians 5:2. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. And understand, as we work on earth, as we live on earth, as we raise children, as we witness, as we do what God would have us to do, there's still a longing to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. You see, no matter what we go through down here, no matter what our struggles are down here, we know, let's say saints, we know. Let's say saints, we know. That when we are absent from this body, we go into glory. Huh? See, so no matter what we go through down here, and we don't want to go through no hard times. That's not what I'm promoting. But since we are going through them anyhow, you need to know glory is waiting on us. Huh? Glory is waiting on us. Hey. If it don't seem to get any better down here, you know that you know that you know that you know that glory, wait. So hold on. Just hold on to God's unchanging hand. Let God know, God, those places in my life that I should have an earnest conviction about, and I don't. Help me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. But I tell you what, I heard it today, and I can fix that with your help, Lord. My brothers and sisters, aren't you glad that we move from suffering to glory? Romans 8:18-19. Can you get that for me, Steve? Romans 8:18-19. Are you going to get that for me? I'm coming on down now. I ain't going to hold you. Oh, yeah. Can y'all look at that with me? Can we read this together? Read it slow now. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in who? Us. In us, Sheila. In us. You don't see it now, but it shall be revealed. It shall be revealed. It's going to happen. See, ain't nobody strong enough to stop God from doing it, see? There's nobody smart enough to stop God from doing it. It's an expectation we should have, and we should preach about it, that it would help us down here. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly what? Waits for the what? Revealing of the what? Sons of God. God bless you and thank you for your time of listening to the word of God. I pray that something was said that would help you on your way to be what God would have you to be.